What's better in life than a bottle of wine, great food, and an amazing conversation?
My name is Kate Sullivan, and I am the host of To Dine For.
I'm a journalist, a foodie, a traveler with an appetite for the stories of people who are hungry for more. Dreamers, visionaries, artists, those who hustle hard in the direction they love. I travel with them to their favorite restaurant to hear how they did it. This show is a toast to them and their American dream. To Dine For, the podcast is brought to you by Terlato Wine Group and American National Insurance. To Dine For, the podcast is brought to you by Angostura. If you've ever made a cocktail at home, you've most likely shaken Angostura bitters into your cocktail at the very end of the cocktail making process. In addition to bitters, Angostura has been making world-class rum for more than 130 years. The next fall cocktail you make, try the beautiful, smooth flavor of Angostura rum. It will transport you to the Caribbean islands of Trinidad and Tobago. The House of Angostura will celebrate its 200-year anniversary of turning drinks into cocktails in 2024. Cheers, everyone. To Dine For, the podcast is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you. For 115 years, American National has remained committed to helping people and communities make a real difference in their lives. American National supports great local community organizations led by the kind of people you hear about on To Dine For. People who are inspired to make a difference and inspire others in return. American National's philosophy is helping where it's needed helps us all. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write, and the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dine For, the podcast, where we meet the world's most creative and innovative minds at their favorite restaurant. On today's episode is Allison Ellsworth.
Get on social media now. Start telling your story, failures and all. Don't make it all pretty and perfect. Start building that community so that if you have 13 ideas, you're asking them, what are y'all's favorite ideas? What color packaging should I do? And get your community involved from the day one.
That is Allison Ellsworth, the founder of Poppy. After facing numerous gut health issues, but dissatisfied by the solutions her doctors came up with, Ellsworth discovered apple cider vinegar. After noticing its immense health benefits but bad tastes, she and her husband, Stephen, created Mother Beverage, a prebiotic soda that makes apple cider vinegar taste good. From selling in farmers markets to getting an investment on Shark Tank, Poppy has revolutionized the soda industry by doing the unthinkable, creating a soda that is both tasty and good for you. Poppy sodas have been seen in the hands of Billie Eilish, Russell Westbrook, J-Lo, and many of your favorite celebrities. Poppy is the number one best-selling soda on Amazon. Their grape flavor won Food and Beverage Magazine's Product of the Year for 2023 and continues to be one of the fastest-growing non-alcoholic beverages in the United States. Please enjoy my conversation with Allison Ellsworth. Good morning. Great to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Where are you coming in from?
So I live in Austin, Texas.
Excellent place to be a founder and an entrepreneurial mind, isn't it?
It is. Where are you at?
We are in Chicago. Yes.
Oh, so I thought it was cold here, but it's probably a little bit colder for you.
Yeah, it was negative 12 on Monday. So yeah, it's been a long time since I've experienced negative 12. And yes, we had it on Monday.
That is crazy. Our kids, literally, they've had school canceled the last few days and it's only been 13 degrees. Like, that's how weak we are here in Texas.
I lived in Arkansas for a long time. So I remember those days when everything stops.
You're just like, okay, this is crazy. I love it.
It's a whole world. I'm going to begin by asking your favorite restaurant. I always ask the guests that, and I'm always interested to hear what the answer is. You obviously live in Austin, Texas, a great food city, but maybe you might take me somewhere else. So if you could pick one restaurant, where would it be?
Okay. So living in Austin, Texas, it's definitely a food city. I would say for me, when it comes to that, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I love all things Tex-Mex. There's a place on top of the proper hotel called La Piscina. They have some of the best fajitas I've ever had in my entire life, insane margaritas, and I am a sucker for a good queso.
Yes. Yes. There's nothing like chips and queso, right? And people in Texas are such great judges of, is it, white cheese? Is it orange cheese? Like what's going on in here, right?
100%. And it's so funny because I think we're spoiled here in Texas. And so when I go outside, I crave it, even though I have it like on every corner here. So I go out other places and realize like we're very spoiled down here.
Yes,
It's not
definitely.
like a norm to get good Tex-Mex or Mexican food in other places.
And did you grow up in Texas?
I grew up in Texas. I grew up in Wichita Falls. I went to college in Dallas, Denton area. And then after starting the company, we started the company, I think it was like 7 years in Dallas. And then we moved to Austin because of the entrepreneurial spirit. It's a creative culture place. And, Poppy moves at the speed of culture. So it just made sense that we move down here and get things going.
There is a vibe in Austin that is different. When I say not just different in Texas, because it is very different than any other place in Texas, but it's very different than anywhere else in the country. And I can see how it would be so special and so inspiring to be there. I'd love for you to back up and take me through how the genesis of Poppy got started. I know you discovered the powers of apple cider vinegar first. What was going on in your life? What were you doing? And how did that begin where you said, hey, there's got to be a better way?
Yeah, so previous to this, I know we mentioned Texas, but I worked in oil and gas research. So I used to travel and I was in and out of hotels. I didn't have access to good food or, even honestly a good place to work out. I remember doing like workout videos in my hotel rooms, but I would say, what you put into your body can really affect the way that you feel. So if you're like always traveling, you know how you just like feel like crap when you're traveling? Well, just imagine that for like
Definitely.
7 years. And I at the time didn't really realize like that was what was going on. So I started going to different doctors and they kept just trying to give you medication or brush you off that like nothing was wrong, but my stomach was always hurting. I had like inflammation, my skin had really bad acne. It was like all these things. And for me, after like having a lot of these problems, I took things into my own hands and I started Googling my symptoms, which I know we're all guilty of.
Yes, we
We've
are.
all done it. You're just
Yes.
like, what is going on? And I was like, how to reset, detox your body, like how, elimination diets, like all of these things. And I kept reading like apple cider vinegar was like a key to a lot of the stuff online. And at this point, I think I was a little just desperate. I started drinking it every day and was shocked at how amazing it made me feel, but I hated the taste of straight
Yeah, it's
vinegar.
so hard. It's a
It's
rough taste.
harsh. Have you ever taken a shot before?
I've never done a shot. I always dilute it in water, but even if it's only like a tablespoon in water, I can taste it and it's hard for me.
Yeah, it's just, and it's also just like really harsh on your stomach if you take it
Yes.
straight. But usually, when I ask people like if they've done it, they're like, yeah, I tried it once or twice, but it's not like sustainable. It's not something you're like, now this is part of my everyday diet or life. And that made me sad. I was like, how do I make this taste good that it's sustainable, that I like enjoy it and want to drink it and like have it part of just like my everyday diet? So went to my kitchen and I just started experimenting. But what was really important with creating Poppy was I wanted to keep it on the healthier side, right? It was like I had all these health problems I was trying to fix. And so I didn't want to just add a bunch of juice and,
Right, or sugar.
yeah, a bunch of sugar and like artificial ingredients or anything. So landed on what we all know and love. And I just started sharing it with people. And I was very surprised early on at how obsessed everyone was. And they were wanting to like buy it from me. And I was like, no, I have a full-time job. Like this is just a hobby.
It was a so seriously, it
It was
wasn't
a
a side
hobby.
hustle. You call it a hobby. Interesting. And I know you were making it to sell at farmers markets, right? Like, take me through. Like, would you batch it in your kitchen, or what was that process like?
Yeah, so it was interesting because after traveling on the road, I was feeling better. And then me and my husband, we got married and we were like, hey, it's time to have kids. So we actually were like, let's move back to Dallas, let's get a house. Let's take a little bit of time off and like kind of just start life a little bit. We were able to work remote at the time. And so on the weekends, I was like, okay, I'm loving this for myself. I'm starting to get people that are wanting it. Let's take it to the farmers market. So that's when it was like, okay, hobby turned into like, is there something here? And what I realized after literally just 3 weeks, we kept selling out week after week. We'd make double, you'd sell out. But Texas is the home of Whole Foods Market.
Yes.
And there was someone up from Austin at the time, we were at the Dallas Farmers Market, and she comes by our booth and she's like, here, I'm here with my mom. Here's my card. I never do this, but I'm a local forager. I find local brands like you and bring them into Whole Foods.
Amazing.
What is this? Like,
that's a lucky moment.
That was the moment. Yes. That was the moment. I was like, oh, wait, we maybe have a business here. And it was, I remember looking at my husband and being like, oh, like they want us in Whole Foods and this is it. And he was like, you're crazy. I was like, no, I want to take our life savings. I was pregnant with our first, like 3 months pregnant at the time. We just bought a house. And I was like, this is it. I just feel it in my bones. And we just full force from that day on, like never looked back.
That is incredible. That's an amazing story. It's also a story of great luck, right? Opportunity. 100%. Obviously, you'd put in the work to be in that moment where luck happened. Were you self-financing up until then? You were creating them and then using the money that you had made to create more batches. At what point do you take outside funding?
Yeah. So up until that point, we had taken our life savings, maxed out our credit cards. We opened our own production facility in Dallas. We did like a friends and family round. By that, I mean, my sister gave us like $30,000. I think it up in the first like year, we had invested about $90,000. So at the time, that was like astronomical amount of money. Looking back now, being in beverage for 4 years, that's nothing because it's a high capital industry. But at the time, that was just like everything, right? It was all on the line. And so I think the natural next step that you do that in everybody in America's mind is you go on Shark Tank. Like, that's the next step.
It's the American like, way.
The American dream. So for me, we were there. We'd done about $500,000 in revenue. And like our first year just in farmers markets and Whole Foods and local sandwich shops in Dallas. And we went on to try out for Shark Tank and started that process. And of course, spoiler alert, we did get a deal. And that was like another huge moment that changed, you know, the trajectory of where Poppy is today.
And who was the shark that gave you the deal?
Yeah. So we got a deal with Rohan Oza. He actually is a beverage shark. So he's a guest shark. Oh. Not a lot of people know who he is, but he's behind some really amazing brands. Like, he helps with vitamin water and he worked at Coke for years. Like, yeah. So he was just like the marketing, they call him the brand father. And I remember getting a deal and he goes, look, your liquid's amazing. Your story's amazing, but your branding really sucks. We're going to have to do a rebrand. We're changing the name, everything. And at that point I was like, yes, bring it on.
And were you called Poppy at that time? Poppy?
No, we were a different name. It was called Mother Beverage.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So it made a lot of sense what he was saying. It was still hard to hear, like change your child's name basically, but we were super willing and open to go through that process.
The shark that partnered with you, he's a very charismatic guy and he's really into marketing. And so was he the one that came up with Poppy or how was that name developed?
Yeah. So from the second we decided to rebrand, we took 9 months off. We pulled back distribution. We were going to do like a Whole Foods rollout and like all of these things nationwide. And he was like, no, we have one chance to go to market. And this is like where the strength of his knowledge came from. So we have to do it right. So we did focus groups. We did rebranding exercises and it was four of us working. It was me and my husband, the other founder, Steven, Rohan, and then his partner as well, Stevie. And we did a whole rebrand. We did so many explorations and landed on Poppy, which is a play off of Soda Pop.
Yes.
And it's bright, it's fun, it's Poppy. And yeah, and then we decided to launch it March of 2020, right when COVID hit.
We'll have more on this conversation in just a minute. But first, thank you to our sponsors.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
To Dine For, the podcast, is brought to you by American National, offering a broad suite of insurance solutions to protect what matters most to you.
There's a funny thing about most insurance commercials, whether they feature lizards or birds or funny cartoon characters. It seems like they want you to think about anything but insurance. American National, on the other hand, has real local agents who get to know you, so they can help you reach better decisions about your insurance to make sure you're protecting what matters most to you. American National agents are part of your community. They're your neighbors. So whether it's solutions for your home, your small business, your farm, or your life, you can count on your local American National agent to make sure you get the discounts you deserve and the protection you need without paying for extras you don't. With American National, you get an ally, not just a web page. For a description of the American National companies, the products they write, in the states in which they're licensed, visit americannational.com/dine.
To Dine For, the podcast, is brought to you by Angostura. If you've ever made a cocktail at home, you've most likely shaken Angostura bitters into your cocktail at the very end of the cocktail making process. In addition to bitters, Angostura has been making world-class rum for more than 130 years. The next fall cocktail you make, try the beautiful, smooth flavor of Angostura rum. It will transport you to the Caribbean islands of Trinidad and Tobago. The House of Angostura will celebrate its 200-year anniversary of turning drinks into cocktails in 2024. Cheers, everyone.
Now back to our conversation.
You know, what everyone talks about, they see the success of getting the deal on Shark Tank, but they don't see what happens after. And I've heard many stories that have gone amazingly well and some that have gone not so well. Talk to me about the reality of after getting that deal and then you launch, because you talked about the 9-month sort of sabbatical that you went all in. Once it launched, what was that experience like?
Yeah. So I think for us, it was almost like unforeseen times because, yes, we took the time off. We were ready to go. We had funding. We had a shark. We had a brand. You know, we knew who we were. We were going after Big Soda. So Poppy's like a better for you soda, 5 grams of sugar. It's like our mission is to revolutionize soda for the next generation. Like, we knew who we were and who we are, which I think a lot of brands, they launch and then they're kind of like figuring it out as they go.
Right.
We'd done all that hard work ahead of time. And so when we came out the gates and then COVID hit, it was at first felt very devastating, as I think a lot of people would launching a brand. Literally, we launched it March 3rd of 2020.
Oh, God bless you. That is rough.
But it was a blessing because for the first time ever worldwide, everyone was like, wow, I should maybe think about my health and wellness, right?
Yes.
And rethink what I'm putting into my body. We had launched on Amazon and people were pantry loading. Our product is shelf stable. We'd filmed an update on Shark Tank with the Poppy branding and all of that work we'd done. It aired April of 2020, second month of lockdown on a Friday night. Everyone stuck at home. So everyone watched the episode. So there's a lot of like, you know, pivotal moments throughout that you're seeing that really defined the success of our skyrocket growth. And we always just say like, Poppy, right place, right product, right time, with people wanting this like disruptive new, like people love soda at the end of the day, right? Like, if you think of soda, you think of it as an emotional connection you probably had to like movies or childhood or a dining experience, right? It's not so much a product. So how do we tap into that emotion? But people want that, but they don't want it with the high sugar, the high fructose corn syrup. So Poppy, we always say, we give you the freedom to love soda again at its best. And so it was just like all of these right things at the right time.
Okay. So from the outside listening in, right? Like for someone listening, your journey appears to be sort of fairy tale, right? Like you start in the farmer's market, you have the buyer from Whole Foods or the person who can get you to Whole Foods just show up. You know, you get a deal on Shark Tank. You have this moment where the Thursday during the lockdown, everyone watches. Take me to a hard moment, because I know that you had a few. Take me to one of your more difficult moments, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I think throughout the whole process, to your point, it sounds very shiny and clean.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to, I'm just one of those people that just like says yes and figures it out. So like even during the hard times, I'm like surrounding myself with like positivity and like trying to stay on that road. But there also comes to your point, we are like one of the fastest growing beverages in history, like of all time, right? We've grown faster than Red Bull and Monster, Celsius, like all of these big brands. So just imagine growing during COVID when there's an aluminum shortage, when we can't, you know, like we
so
are
many
having
things,
to think,
right?
Think differently. Like there's no more in real life, like events to tell people about your product. There's no sampling in store. Like when people walk by like a Costco and they're like a sample, like you can't do any of the traditional things. So we had to think very differently as a brand right off the front to be like digital first. So we double paid for cans for probably the first 2 years, right? You had to rethink anything anyone had ever thought of marketing in the history of marketing. You had to think, oh, how do we do things differently? So I always say like that could be looked at as a bad thing or a good thing, because sometimes if you do things the way people have done before, you're just going to get the same results. You're not going to have great growth. So it was a lot harder during those times, but I think like it ended up turning into a positive. But the aluminum and growing during like shipping constraints and all that during COVID was a really difficult and capital intensive.
You have grown at such an incredible rate. Obviously, you have a great product, but what do you attribute that growth to?
So I think like a piece we haven't talked about that was really, I guess, disruptive and that we found during like the COVID times and like how do you connect with your consumer differently was through TikTok.
Let's talk about that because you've been so successful on TikTok.
So successful, but in a weird way.
How so? Why weird?
Because I think I downloaded the app back in 2019, pre-COVID, where, you know, everyone got on the platform once COVID hit because you were bored and you were stuck at home. But it was navigating, like, how does a brand break through on the platform? So, you know, to answer your first question is community. Our community is so different than, like, any of our competitors or Big Soda's community in that it's a true engaged community. And so I think like that attributes to our success. Like we have a great brand, we have a great product and community.
How did you create such a special community?
Yeah. So one night I was like sitting at home and I just got on and like told my story and it was really authentic. I like had no makeup on, my hair, I just got in the shower and I just like, hey, this is how I started Poppy from my health issues to Shark Tank to this, you know, and then I just hit post and I went to bed. And it went like super viral. And I think is what it was, is we were one of the first brands to not be high gloss. Let's be authentic. Let's take away all of these bells and whistles. And let's just sit down and talk to our community like a friend, or like I'm a mom of three, a mom to other moms, or like other founders to other founders. And we kind of like broke it down. And now everyone talks, the buzzword is being authentic, but we were really one of the first brands to be authentic on the platform. I mean, we have like over 2 billion views on TikTok, but so much so that even like TikTok filmed a commercial with me of like how brands should be on the platform because we were one of the first. But it wasn't at the time like a marketing tactic. It was just like, how do I connect with our community when we have nothing, no other way? It was like out of desperation, honestly.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you're right. Being authentic has been such a buzz concept, but very few people can actually do it effectively, right? And it sounds like whatever that first video is really kind of set you on the path for that. Who inspires you? Who have you kind of picked up along the way as either a mentor or a friend or another fellow founder that has helped you?
Yeah, so I think a new wave of what's happening right now too is this like female founder empowerment. And so, I mean, even when we first started this, like around 3 years ago, I would go on panels or I do things and I would always be like the only female founder. And it was like now in especially in CPG, I'm seeing that like the support system around, like I literally was texting this morning, the founder of Tower 28. And she's like, hey, I see you guys are doing a pop-up. Like, how can I support? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you can support here. Like, it's like, we're communicating. It's not like, hey, can you pay $5,000 to come to our event to sponsor? It's like, how do I highlight you? But I'm getting the same love from other founders, and it goes back to what makes Poppy special, is like we really lean into that community. And for me, it's like that female community. So I would say like I draw a lot of inspiration from other female founders that I'm constantly trying to surround myself with. As an entrepreneur, I never learned how to be a leader, right? Like being a leader is very different than being an entrepreneur, right? Yes. Leading people is really freaking hard. Like it's, you know, it's like as most entrepreneurs, we're chaotic, we're crazy. Like people kind of like don't get us. So I've had to learn to like calm down a little bit and like work as a team and not have an ego and like do all these things. So I think I learned a lot of that through listening to like Pat Lencioni, which I love, like just learning how other people's work and how like me being a really creative can be really disruptive to certain people, or it can be really inspirational and how to work through that as a leader. So I think like those are two like really big things that have helped me grow in my career. And then I'm always looking and learning for more as well.
You have to wear so many hats as a founder, especially at the very beginning. I'm just wondering, over the years, what have you identified as sort of your superpower or what you feel most naturally good at?
I'm a dreamer. You know, that could be looked upon as amazing, but dreamer, visionary. I grew up dancing. My major, actually, I went to college for dance. So I see everything in a production. So I see the end recital and I can see it. And then I'm like, now how do we start from the bottom up to build it, to bring it together, like that full 360. So for me, being able to see the larger picture, the end at the beginning, I feel like is my strength. And then like rallying people to get the most out of them. So very like inspirational. I wouldn't say like I'm the big idea person that's like, this is the billboard campaign that we're doing, but I have a strength of, hey, we're doing this now. How do we come together? And I can get that out of the team and really create something that we all feel ownership over. And I think that that's, it's like a really fun place to be.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And I can visually see it. You know, your dance example was great. You know, I asked that question to both men and women. And it's kind of one of my standard questions. And you'd be surprised that like every guy loves that question. And every woman almost like becomes like physically uncomfortable to answer it, almost like they think it's a humble brag or something like that. But if you've gotten to any level of success, you've got to have been good at something, right? So I think it really does a service to women when you can share what you're good at, you know, right? Because I'm sure there are other aspects of the business that you've identified you're not good at, right?
So many. Do not put me in the ops team or supply chain or finance, like marketing, creative, visionary all day long. But I think understanding, to your point, those strengths is really important as an entrepreneur. And it's hard to swallow. Sometimes we think we can do everything, but it's better if you don't, I promise.
Yes, yes. Just thinking back, I know it's been sort of a wild ride over the past 7-8 years. What would you say to the person who is just starting out on a journey, who has an idea, who maybe is in the first year of launch and getting it going? What advice have you gleaned and learned that you can offer?
The number one thing I think that you can do is to get on social media now, start telling your story, failures and all. Don't make it all pretty and perfect. Start building that community so that if you have 13 ideas, you're asking them, what are y'all's favorite ideas? What color packaging should I do? Do you want to taste my formula or smell my candle or try my chapstick or whatever it is? And get your community involved from the day one. I think that was the biggest piece of that community and success at Poppy. And you have to get over, my voice is annoying, or I look stupid, or I can't share. It's like, no, that is your number one marketing tactic. And it's free. It's free. So get on, get now, start telling, get your community. And, you know, you have to get over that stigma of like social media and all that. No, tell your story. It's your best avenue of marketing.
What did you learn from Rohan? You know, he is sort of the superstar shark, has an amazing acumen in business. I'm just wondering, sometimes we learn just by being around people, like power and proximity to people. I'm just wondering, like being in so many meetings with him, and obviously he had an incredible strategy for your company, but I'm just wondering what you personally got out of being around him.
You know, I think we're similar in the way that we think in the dreaming aspect. You can get into a room with Rohan and just watch him. And it's a very special, special thing. And the way of you can say, hey, we have this idea. He can then take it 10 levels higher. And I think it comes from, look, I've done this before, or hey, I've done this before. How do you do it differently? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to like the marketing aspects of the, you'll talk to marketers who've been in the business for 30 years, someone like Rohan, and it's like, this is how I do it. And this is my playbook. He is not like that at all. Mm-hmm. And it's very refreshing. So mm-hmm. I think that that's pushed me as well as to like, how do you be disruptive? How do you think differently? So that's a really big piece and strength. And then the knowing the playbook too, on the other side of like, hey, these distributors are great, or work with this retailer in this aspect, and like being able to learn from somebody that's just been doing it for so long and hearing stories of like back in the day with Sprite and this, and I worked on this campaign, and you're just like, your mind is blown half the time. It's pretty cool. I mean, they call him the brand father for a reason. He's like one of the first people to do like a celebrity deal with like a beverage. He did like Justin Timberlake and Bye and 50 Cent and Vitamin Water. And like just hearing all those stories, it's pretty special.
Your title is Chief Brand Officer, correct?
Yes.
In addition to founder. How do you define that? And what does that mean for Poppy?
Yeah. So we are set up a little bit different at Poppy. And that's a great question. So we do have a CMO and chief marketing officer. I run our creative department. So everything creative like runs up to me, as well as, like I said, a lot of the visionary, like the social, the sizzly, like all of these things. But I understand my strengths a long time ago, and that maybe getting a shopper program in place is maybe not the best use of my time, or understanding and running the budget and like doing all of these different things. So we've brought in a lot of support, and I've learned that it's like a team like effort with it. So within that, it's mostly just creative, social, face of, and then just like big picture visionary type of stuff. So like keeping us super, super on brand with everything that we do.
Was there a moment when you realized you had made it? Because, you know, we're all on a sort of on a path of a trajectory where we're just getting going. We're obviously getting a deal on Shark Tank. You're launching all these things. Was there ever a moment on the journey where you're like, yes, this is it?
I think about a year and a half ago, it really set in when we became the number one selling soda on Amazon.
Yeah.
And we've held that spot for over a year and a half. That was the first time like we beat out like any big soda brand at anything. And Amazon's just such, I mean, like it's like what 85% of households have Amazon. The number could be higher now, which was like a really big moment. And then I think this year, when realizing, when someone says, where are you guys sold? Someone sees you just say where we're not sold.
Right.
And, you know, like
that's amazing.
That point,
yeah.
Everywhere, every bodega in New York, we're in Costco, we're in Target, we're in Kroger, we're in Walmart, you know, it's like all of these things. And then you're just like, wow. So I think like that number one soda, and then honestly hitting January of this year, where we're just like, we are no longer a startup.
Right.
Right. You know, like we're not a startup. We are an established company with 130 employees. We're in every major retailer in the nation, number one. It's like all of these like crazy things that I'm just like, but still I don't know, imposter syndrome, maybe. It's like, I'm still like, this is wild. This is crazy. Like, is this happening? Like, I don't think I'm like, oh, I got this. Like, we're here. We've made it. It's still not, I'm still like nervous to say that, I guess.
And what is your vision looking forward? Because I imagine a lot of the big guys, if they haven't already tried to buy you, they will try to buy you. Is that the end goal, to get bought and a big payday? Or what is your vision for the company?
I think I feel very strong about our mission of like revolutionizing soda for the next generation. So for me, I don't think I'm in it for like the short term, like let's make this, build it and sell it. Like I truly want, my kids are like getting raised on Poppy. I hear that from a lot of our community. So I want to, whatever the avenue is, just to make sure that Poppy is a household brand and isn't killed off in like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And nowadays things are just not the same as they used to, right? Yeah. You could talk to strategic, you could continue to run it. You can go IP. There's so many different avenues that are available. So not sure yet, but as long as Poppy stays as a whole household name, would just make me really happy.
Yeah, you know, you're riding a wave not only of great success, but of great timing. You know, I have a diabetic son. And so sugar, we're uber aware of sugar and carbs. And obviously, I cannot have him be drinking a sugar-laden soda. It's just, you know, with the amount of insulin we have to give him for everything else. So it's like something that's first on my mind as a mom. But I imagine that's true of so many moms who are thinking, like, how there's got to be a healthier alternative. How has the success of this? You're not on a plane eating bad food and working out in hotel rooms anymore, but can you share a little bit about your own health journey? What do you do now to stay not only healthy from a food and diet perspective, but also mentally healthy?
Yeah. So throughout the whole process, everyone's like, oh my goodness, apple cider vinegar cured you. And I'm like, no. No, it set me onto a path of health and wellness. Discovering what you put into your body can affect the way that you feel. So for me, I went gluten-free. I saw a huge, huge difference in my diet. I started like routinely working out. I'm obsessed with yoga, but do I do it weekly? No, I have three children and I travel a lot. So I do it when I can, you know, it's like, not putting the pressure on to be like perfect all the time helps a lot with like my mental health and my awareness. Like as long as I'm happy and I'm home with my kids as much as I can, and then I work out what I can, it's like the balance I think is really important. And that's kind of what keeps me sane.
I know it's kind of an unfair question. Well, if you're a mom of three, I'm a mom of three as well. It's kind of it's a loaded question because you fluctuate with days of feeling completely off balance to feeling every now and then balanced. Am I right?
100%. And it's like, I think the thing is like the pressure to be like the perfect mom or whatever. Like I'm like the opposite. Like I am chaotic. I'm crazy. As long as my kids are fed and in bed at a good time and alive into school, like I feel like I won for the day.
Yes. Yes. Allison, I have enjoyed this conversation so much and I wish you continued success with Poppy.
Oh, I thank you so much. It was so wonderful chatting.
Thanks for listening to Dine For the podcast. For more information on the show, the guests, and the podcast, head to todineforTV.com. You can find us on Instagram at todineforTV and Facebook at todinefor with Kate Sullivan. Thanks to the sponsors of To Dine For the podcast, American National and Terlato Wine Group. Special thank you to producer and sound editor John Golmer. To the loyal followers of this program, cheers, stay hungry, and stay inspired. I'll see you back at the table soon.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.